I appreciate the kind introduction, and it's great to be here this morning. It's a real pleasure to speak to you about how new media is changing politics. It's a subject that I care about personally, but it's also a subject that throughout the 2008 presidential campaign I actually lived through. I'd like to speak to you today less as a United States ambassador and more as a web user. I'm sure that some of the people here think the people my age are kind of fossils. You know, I was around even before Al Gore fathered the internet, which actually there's quite a bit of truth to the fact that he was the father of it. But I admit that, you know, my first browser goes back to, you know, CompuServe and Prodigy and PC Link and other things that no longer exist. The way I've managed to maintain advantage over other people of my vintage is I have a secret weapon. I have three teenagers, and they grew up in San Francisco, in the Bay Area, and their friends were all friends with the people who created, you know, Google and Facebook and that sort of thing, and so. I was on Facebook, and I was on Skype, and I was on MySpace and other websites, mostly because it's the only way that I could communicate with my kids. And I think it explains why today, when I talk to other people, you know, I mention, you know, Antoine Dodson's YouTube video or, you know, E=3, and they look at me and think, what is he talking about? But my kids get me. So you're just, so you know, other people who are probably my kids' age have been working on our social media at the United States Embassy. You know, we're on Twitter at USA Embassy in Oz. We're on Facebook as Australia.US Embassy. We're on Flickr as USEmbassy.Canberra. And we're on YouTube as USEmbassy.Canberra. That's the US Embassy Canberra, no dot, as well. We also have a basic website, canberra.usembassy.gov. This is, you know, this is for your parents, grandparents. I think I'm the only one, and my mother, you know, goes on occasionally to see what I'm up to. And that's not even mentioning the accounts that our consulates have. So I'd appreciate it if I gave you all the links so that you could check them out. Let us know how we're doing. Finally, as Julie mentioned, I did work on the Obama campaign, including co-chairing the California campaign. And so it's mostly based on those experiences that I want to share with you some thoughts about how President Obama embraced the new media platforms during the 2008 presidential elections, and some of the things that we learned. First, let's start with how the Obama campaign got into new media. You know, there's this old saying that necessity is the mother of invention. The reason that the Obama campaign built its strategy around the web was honestly that we didn't have any other choice. President Obama started to go back to late 2006, at the time he decided to run. But people didn't think he stood much of a chance of winning the nomination at that time. He had enormous public appeal as a senator, and he was drawing large crowds all over the country wherever he spoke. But he didn't have any of the basics that you need in order to win an election. He didn't have money. He didn't have endorsements. He didn't have name recognition, and he didn't have consultants, which are the keys. He was running against then-Senator Hillary Clinton, who had been a household name for over two decades. She had helped create the most effective fundraising machine in Democratic politics for the last 50 years, with all the big Democratic donors. She'd locked up virtually all of the major endorsements, since virtually every successful Democrat, Democratic politician knew the Clintons, and most of them owed them a favor. She was the best known Democratic politician in America. And she had already hired all the most sought after Democratic consultants. Barack Obama, by contrast, had no national fundraising base. He had been relatively unknown until 4 years earlier. He'd only served 2 years in the Senate, and so he wasn't owed any favors by other national politicians. Most strategists, if they knew his name, thought it was a liability, Barack Hussein Obama. And since many of the best strategists were taken, he had to rely on people like me to help the campaign. So obviously we're in desperate circumstances. Now, both the Australians and Americans, I think we share a love of the underdog, which is why, right now at the grand finals coming up, the Saints and the Magpies are both trying to spin how long it's been since they've won a grand final. We're the underdog because they want people to cheer for them. But in reality, underdogs usually stay under. To use an example from Major League Baseball, people in 49 of the 50 states cheer against the New York Yankees. And yet the Yankees have won 27 World Series. And the reason is we may cheer for the underdog, but the odds are that if the underdogs are playing the same game the same way against the champion, they usually don't win. So President Obama had to do something different. He needed to be creative and not rely on the same playbook that candidates had been using in primary after primary. For example, we realized that he didn't have the support of the establishment of people with really big money. He's never going to find 60 people who are going to immediately commit to raise $1 million for him, which is what other candidates had already accomplished. So instead, he needed to flip that figure.